This is Victory House.
Okay, tonight I'd like to wrap up what I've been talking around faith, and looked at different dynamics of faith, how things work, and today I want to bring it all together, and then we'll put it aside for a bit, because faith is something we'll talk about again and again. One of the things that I found out in the kingdom of God is that many, many things that disturb people are not new things, quote unquote. They are old things that people have forgotten about. There are old things that people don't walk in the fullness of again. And in the things of God, never get to a point where you think, oh, that one, I know that one. I'm good there. I understand that. In fact, the more you, when you start seeing yourself drifting towards that, begin to go and reload on that again, because you're already getting into that syndrome of you know. And when you get into that place of you know, you think you don't need to know more, or you don't think you can relearn what you have learned, then it's a very, very, very bad place. But I know the people here are not those kind of people. We are the people that know how to connect to the things of God and keep on connecting and connecting again and again and again. Can I get a big amen to that? All right. So tonight, I like to title what I'll be talking about, Acting in Line. Acting in line. If you can open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter number 7. 2 Kings 7. And then I'll start reading from verse 3. I'll take it all the way to 20. 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3 to 20. Now there were four men with leprosy sitting at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here waiting to die? They asked each other. We will starve if we stay here. But with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army. If they let us leave, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. So at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping of horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. I declare that in the name of Jesus, everything around you will cooperate with you. Amen. Anything that needs to hear a sound from God, anything that needs to hear a noise from God, to recalibrate itself, to realign itself for your good, for your purpose, let them hear that sound right now in the name of Jesus. So they said, the Aramean army to hear a clatter of speeding chariots and galloping horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel, this is what these Aramean soldiers now said. The king of Israel has hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to attack us. They cried to one another. So they panicked and ran into the night. I declare that those who are chasing you will be chased in the name of Jesus. What is pursuing you will be pursued in this season. I declare what is against you, you will now be the one tormenting such in the name of Jesus. Because God reverses rules. Things can change. What is supposed to be pressurizing you, you will now be the one terrorizing that thing. Amen. God is able to flip things. All right. So he goes on to say, so they panicked and ran into the night, abandoning their tents, horses, donkeys, and everything else as they fled for their lives. When the lepers arrived at the edge of the camp, they went into one tent after another, eating and drinking wine, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and hid it. I declare that in the name of Jesus, God will turn your story around in the name of Jesus. It will turn it around for good. Where things have not been enough, it will be more than enough. Where you have been hiding, you will be in the limelight. Where you have been an underdog, you will now be the chief in the name of Jesus. Finally, they said to each other, this is not right. This is the day of good news. You will be a good news bringer. Your life will affect many people. You will not only be sorted out, you will not only enjoy open doors, but you will now be opening doors for people. People will wake up in the morning and give God thanks because of you. There are people that will say, God, thank God I met him. Thank God I met her. That will be your story in the name of Jesus. He says, this is the day of good news. And we aren't sharing it with anyone. If we wait until morning, some calamity will suddenly fall upon us. Come on, let us go back and tell the people at the palace. Acting in line. You know, we've been looking at faith from different angles. And you can the whole concept of faith, you can describe it as a salesman. In sales, there are four stages in sale or in a deal, the art of the deal. There are four stages. The first stage is information. There is information. And you can look at that information as hope. You gather things. There are things you are looking at. There are things you are projecting to. And that's how faith starts. Faith starts with information. You gather information. There is information. Next stage is initiation. Because you can't just have this information. There must be a connection with the information, which is the beginning of the process, which is now making use of that information in such a way that that information will turn out into something that will transform. So in the heart of the deal, you have information, you have initiation. And initiation, you can look at initiation if you were looking at it from the concept of faith that we'll be looking at all throughout the season as confession. As releasing things, as adding your voice, as putting your own human spirit with the written word of God and turning the word of God into life and putting life behind it. And there's another level which we call, in the art of the deal, called deliberation. So you have information, you have initiation, you have deliberation. You know, when you're trying to do a deal, real estate deal, you're trying to sell something to somebody. Something like that will happen. You first introduce the product to the person, and when you introduce the person may now start having a buy-in, is kind of thinking about it. You know, you are initiating the person into it. Then there will now be the place where the person will now go and think about it, or the person, while you are there, is already deliberating about it. That is in the concept of a meditation, where you are thinking about the word of God, where you are looking at the word of God and picturing what the word of God is saying. So there is that phase. But you see, though information is good, though initiation is very good, though deliberation is good, a deal is not completed like that. Until a deal leads into signature, there is no deal. So if there's information, if there's initiation, if there's deliberation, without signature, there is no deal. So every salesman knows that his job is not done until he has gotten you to sign. And that's why usually when you go to some of these sales events, they will tell you that they have an offer. If you don't sign today, that's it. This is the day of the Lord. I remember several years ago, I think it was one of our wedding anniversary. We went for one, what do you call these people? The people that meet you at the mall and tell you to buy vacation homes. So we went, and they took, the way they even tell you, they'll tell you, you just be going for vacation free for the rest of your life. You know, a very enticing way. They give you that information. You start thinking about it. So when you get there, they give you all the information, and they tell you, if you sign up today, they will cut so many things off. And if you say you don't want to sign up, you are still thinking about it. I remember that time we said, this is very nice. But I looked at the monthly commitment. I said, baby. And we told ourselves, one of us must not be carried away. Somebody must still retain their mind to push the other person not to sign. So I think I was already getting like, I think we can do this. We can sign, because sometimes I may be very risky. I can be very risk pruned. So I think I was already, my wife was like, I don't think so. So as we're still deliberating, somebody came again and put another offer on top of the table. on the other offer that they are so-called giving everybody, why were they doing this? They know that that process of we coming to get information and having initiation and having deliberation, if we don't put our pen to paper and sign, it's as good as nothing. And can I tell you this evening that faith, as good as the word of God is, as good as confessing the word of God is, if we don't act in line with what we have said, even when we have not seen what we have said to happen, we have not signed it. So we sign the faith process with action. We sign the faith process with action. And this is where many people miss it. A lot of people read the word. A lot of people confess the word. A lot of people sometimes even think about the word, but they don't sign the word. And you don't sign the word until you put action to it. Look at the story we just read tonight. Story of four lepers. The man of God had shown up in the palace of the king and said, "Oh king, something miraculous is going to happen. North Korea is going to release three captives." And somebody said, "How can that be? Nobody, it hasn't happened. This North Korea guy is a crazy guy." And the man of God said, "It's going to happen. Stuff is going to change. The economy of a nation is going to change overnight." And the economy pundit started saying, "That's not possible." I mean, one of the king's advisors said, "That's impossible. We know these things. We run the numbers. We know about it. It's not possible." And the man of God said, "Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. You are going to see what you have said is not possible, but you are not going to eat out of it." One of the things that you and I need to learn how to do in our life is never say never, especially when God is involved. Don't say something it can't happen. Don't say something is not possible. In fact, if you cannot see anything, it's better to keep quiet. It's better, especially when you are having challenges. Just train yourself not to be that person who say, never, this one can't happen. Now, there's nothing that can happen. God is able to change anything. God has power that you have not. There are things that God has done that we have seen antecedents. We have seen that he has done this in the past. There are still some things that we may not have any reference to that God can still do. There are new things that you have never heard about that he is still capable of doing. So don't think that everything that God can do, he has done a pattern of them before. He can introduce a new pattern. He can introduce a new step. And so this advisor, wise guy, said it was not possible. But lo and behold, God had a plan. The Bible said there were four lepers sitting at the gate. Because in those days, if you are leprous, they will send you out. Not because necessarily they were wicked, but you see, these people were living. It was a serious community. Everything was together. And even now, when people have contagious diseases like this, they quarantine them. They take them apart. When people, when the Ebola thing happened, once they sight you and they know that they will take you out of everywhere because they know that you will contaminate everyone. So that's what they were. What used to happen there? The lepers live outside of the city limits. So it's like they have a leper colony, and that's where these guys were. And they were starving. Nobody was taking care of them. And one day they asked themselves. They said to themselves that you know what. We have been saying that God will help us. We have been believing that God will help us. We have heard in our ears that God can help us. And we have confessed it. We have thought about it. We have pictured it. But we are not doing anything about this God will help us thing. And that's the challenge for the church people too. Many times you say God will do it. Sometimes when you meet some people, their motto is almost like, "God will do it. Amen. I know God will do it. I know God will do it." But God will do it. You are talking about school. You have not applied to any school. You are not doing any research. God will do it. You are talking about business. You are not finding about anything. You are not doing any research. You think God will do what you can do for you. Can I tell you this? God will not do for humans what humans can do for themselves. You know? Like some people, when they just give their life to Christ, they hear God can do anything, they begin to get very funny and spooky. "God, can you brush my teeth for me?" No, he won't. No. If you like, confess to tomorrow, he will not. You better stand up, take the brush, put paste on it, and brush the teeth. Because that one, you can do it yourself. God will not do some things for you that you can do yourself. In fact, God usually steps in where you end. And many times people think they have reached their limits, but no, they have not reached their own limits. Imagine these lepers. They would have thought they had reached their limit. Remember, being a leprous person is a physical condition which limits mobility, which affects mobility. It depends on where the leprosy is and all of that. But for the most people, it affects mobility. So that means that in their mind, they can tell themselves, we have reached our limit. And even physical people, physical therapists and all these people that study human actions and limits of what human beings can carry, they say that when we are at the gym, when we are working out, when we think we are tired, we are not fully tired. We still have some energy inside of us. If you can push yourself above that, you'll still find out that some energy will come back. I don't know if that happened to you before. Sometimes you thought you were super tired. You have been pressing. You've been jogging or walking. And then you just try to say, let me do 2 more minutes. And you find out that if you take your eyes off the clock or you take your eyes, you know, off whatever you were doing and get distracted with something else, 7 minutes has passed and you are still running. Because there is still a reservoir of energy that you have not used. And so some people will think that they have reached their limit. You may be hearing me tonight, maybe online or wherever you are hearing me, and you think, I have done my best. You know, that sounds like kids. Sometimes you say, do something. They write and say, that's the best I can do. But that's not the best that is possible for them. And usually parents will push. You can do a little better. And with that little push, they will move to another level. With that little push, they will move. And many times, God is waiting for you and I to get receive that little push from him. Because with that little push, you can break your limit. I declare, if you are hearing me this evening, God will help you to break your records. The good records that you have set for yourself, God will help you to break it in the name of Jesus. Some of you have had some financial records, but God will break that record for you. In the name of Jesus. So, never put a cap on your limit. Never put a cap on the fact that, oh, I have done the best. The best is still yet to come. I can do better. I can do much more. The fact that I've done good today, the fact that I think I reached my limit today, tomorrow I'm going to try and break it. That's how they break world records. Many years ago, people would have thought, how can human beings be running 100 meters under how many seconds did they? How long is it now? Is it 9? 9 point something. These things used to be 13, 14 before. But gradually, people would just shave 1 minute out of it. As in, do you know what a minute is in running? I mean, the last person, even with Usain Bolt won't win the guy with 1 minute. You know that, right? In seconds. Most of the time, 20 seconds apart. Sometimes, 5 seconds apart. So, for you to find somebody breaking the limits and taking a whole 1 minute away from world record, it's a big feat. But you know how it happens? Step after step. I believe there will be some people that would have studied running and athletics back in the day that would have made words like this and say, it's not possible for human beings to run under 10 seconds. Is it 10 seconds? 10 seconds. You say, no. That's not a human being. I mean, if you run at that rate, you'll kill yourself. The human body, people will postulate all kind of things. The human body can't carry. And I know, maybe before Jesus comes, some people will be doing 7 seconds. Are they in this room? maybe they are timers. The people that I see here, they've eaten all kinds of things that... they probably need to fast for the rest of the year for them to even get into small shape to start going in that direction. But what am I saying tonight? I'm saying breaking records are possible. It is possible to break records. Because these lepers, they were standing there and asking themselves questions. And I like it when sometimes we audit our life and ask ourselves questions. Is this thing working? Can we do this thing better? Can we up this thing? Can we move up to the next level? Because you see, one of the challenges that you and I can face is the success of the past. Where you begin to coast and you now sit on this plateau. And this plateau is not the place that God wants you to be. You just sit on a place and you become a champion, local champion in your mind. Local champion in your mind. Whereas God has something better. I'm not saying God has not done good things. I'm not saying you should not be grateful to God. I'm not saying you should be covetous. But I am saying don't be complacent and don't be easily satisfied. Don't be easily satisfied. So these guys, 4 lepers, they told themselves, I think we can break this limit. and they ask themselves, what's the worst thing that can happen? I think sometimes you and I need to be asking ourselves that. Because sometimes the devil, if you do that, what will happen? What's the worst that can happen? What if I take that course? What if I stand before that class? What if I ask for that position? What if I go to that top? What if I stand before the class? What if I'm the richest in my class? What if I'm the best? What if I say I want to be the best? Why is it not possible? Oh, do you know that to be the best, you have to have gone like this? You have to do this. Is that telling you everything? Your accent, you know, you didn't start learning, is a lie. There is no background that precludes you from getting to the top. There is nowhere you are coming from that stops you to get to where God can take you. There is nowhere. God has taken people from all kinds of places. He has taken people from the back of the line, he put them in the front. He has taken people from the middle of the line, he put them. There are people in the front of the line. He took them again and put them at point zero. When there was no more contest, you know, you start reading from first to 10 or something. This one where they were above the grades. God can do that. So do not put a limit on it. Don't put a limit on God. Don't think that it's not possible. Don't think God can't take you far. Don't think that the best has happened. So these guys got, they started having this conversation, and they were telling themselves, I think we need to risk this thing. Because when you talk about faith, faith involves some level of risk. Faith involves level of risk. How do you move when you don't know the full picture? How do you move with just one word? With just one word. Just one word. Go. That was what God told Abraham. Go. To where, sir? I will tell you when you go. That's risky. With a woman, with a man, with a woman, and with his nephew. Go. And remember, this go is not as if they had cars, they had GPS, they had phones, they had entertainment. They were going to be walking. I mean, I would be like, God, well, I'm going to go. But give me, you know, full disclosure, sir. You know, I need to know what I need to pack. I need to know, am I going and staying? Am I going and coming back or what? Or, you know, what's the game plan here? But what God just told him was, go. And many of the times, God is calling us to go. He's calling us into a future that we don't know yet. There are doors that he will open to us that don't look like it. And it's calling us to walk in through those doors. Some of us are asking too many questions. What if it does not work? What if it works? And that was the what if these guys were having. They were having the what ifs. And they came to a conclusion that, you know what? It is better to die believing God than to be alive doubting him. It is better. It is better if we perish. And the reason we perish was because we're going after something that we believe God laid in the future for us. And that's what these guys did. And in the morning, the Bible said they went out. And when they got to this place, to this camp of the enemy, they did not find the enemy there. I declare that what you thought was going to be against you, when you get there, you won't find it there again in the name of Jesus. There are some things that the devil is using to scare so many people, but it's not there. It's a shadow. It's not real. When you get to the shadow, it has gone. Is that not how shadow works? When you move closer to the shadow, it moves away. It's not there. It's just an appearance. You know, the Bible talks about appearance of evil. There are sometimes the devil mocks it. He creates a caricature of the real thing. But it's not there. Don't let him scare you. Let it be the voice of God that rings inside of you. And you advance boldly to the intentions of God for your life. You will succeed in the name of Jesus. I know that is your season for succeeding in Jesus' name. So the Bible said they got here. And lo and behold, God had gone ahead of them. Can I tell you this? In 2018, you are going to walk into prepared places because God has gone ahead of you. There are things that you are worrying yourself over. God has taken care of the battle for you. He knew you were going to be here. He had made contingency plans. He has gone ahead of you. He is only waiting for you to start increase your pace and catch up with him because God has gone ahead of you. That thing will not kill you. That issue with school will not submerge you. The financial problem will not destroy you. In the name of Jesus. The documents you are expecting, they will show up. In the name of Jesus. So, they got there.
And God was waiting for them there. Everything was there for them. I pray in the name of Jesus that there for you, there's a place called there. There is a place called there. You will get there. Because in that there place, there's provision. Because where the vision of God leads you, his provision is also there. Because the provision is for the vision. So the thing God has ahead of you, if you go forward toward it, every other thing will follow you. Is that not why scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing will follow you. Not seek those things. You seek God first. You seek the vision. You find the plan. You go for God. You go for the things of God. And you'll find that the things others are going for will go for you. Will start chasing you. I see things chasing you in this season, in the name of Jesus. So when they got there, everything was there. So it was their actions that put signature to that old sales transaction. If they had not acted, they would have died. Nobody would have carried them. An angel would not have carried them. You know, sometimes supernatural things happen very casually. You just start getting restless. You just start getting some disturbance. You just start feeling uncomfortable with where you are. You just start feeling that there is more to me. There is more to life. You just start feeling that uncomfort, that discomfort. And many people just think it's random. No, there is a supernatural process in place. God is doing something. Don't let it go. Let that disruption push you into the next level. Because when you let that disruption put you into the next level, you'll find that there is that place called there. I'm asking God tonight that in the name of Jesus, everybody listening to me, you will get into that place called there in the name of Jesus. So when there are things that we read in the Word of God, if it is health, if it is prosperity, you know, whatever you are believing from Scripture, there is usually an action that you can tally with your information and everything else that we have talked about. There is an action. You can act in line. And many times people act out of line with what they are believing God for. Can you imagine that these lepers, instead of them to go to the camp, they should be building a tent in where they are now. And that's how people do. Instead of them to move towards the line of action that corresponds to what they are believing God for, they move in the opposite direction. And if this is where the there for you is, and you go in that direction, you know you will never get here. Because you are going farther and farther away from the there. But if the there is there, and you are here, and you move from here, and you start going towards there, you will eventually get there. It may be slow. If you don't stop, you will get there. So tonight, let me just tell you about three types of doers. Because evidently, the last straw, the signature to the Word of God is doing. Is doing. Reading is good. Hearing is good. We've talked about that. Saying is good. But if you do hearing, saying, reading, and without doing, it's useless. It's useless. And there are usually things you can do. There are usually things you can do when you're believing God. And then you now need to now start doing those things as if God were already doing all the other things. For example, if you are believing God for healing, you start acting like the healed person. You don't completely shut down. You don't completely allow the devil, because you see, the body, if you allow the devil and the body, they will just be there. You know, because some people, when they have, there's a small symptom on their body, then they now start saying, oh, I'm sick. And even the things that they can still do, they will not do it. Because I'm sick. The devil says this one, he really needs it. Let's come and build a house here. But that's not your portion in Jesus' name. Now, there are three types of doers. You know, there are the disobedient. Completely, they won't do it. This is flat defiance to what the Word of God says. The disobedient. Now, under the disobedient, I will put it into two categories. You have people who say things like, you know, I'm sure you've heard this word before, white lie. When they start coloring lie, that is a lie. Because the truth has no color. The truth is transparent. So when people start saying white lie, blue lie, dark lie, and all of that. And similarly, with obedience, people have white obedience, black obedience. And once it starts having colors of obedience, it becomes disobedience. So I have what I call, under disobedience, partial obedience. Partial obedience. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, 1 Samuel chapter 15, if you read from verse 1 to 10, there's the story of Saul. When God told Saul, destroy the Amalekites, every one of them, destroy all of them completely. And Saul, in his own, I don't know the way to qualify his wisdom, but in his own wisdom, decided that he will choose and pick. He will decide to do which one. He won't do all that God has commanded him to do. And the Bible said he disobeyed. He disobeyed not because he did not obey at all. He disobeyed because he obeyed partially. You know, there are many of us, it's not because we are completely defiant to the word of God. We are just not doing it completely. Bring all your tithes into the house of God. You know, I say, Pastor, don't go there. Well, we'll go there. God knows math. He knows 10%. And then you come, you bring, and it's sizable change that you brought. We don't know what 10% is. You do. In the book of God, you are still disobedient. Because he knows what 10% is. And if you bring 8% as 10% and say, God, you know this month, the reason I'm bringing 8% is not because I don't want to bring 10%, but it's because, you know, Sister Jane had a problem, I had to give her something. Brother Joe had a problem, I had to give her. But God knew that Brother Joe and Sister Jane were in the house of God when the scriptures was written and said, bring all the tithe. You know, sometimes you'll be wondering why the Bible said bring all. Maybe he knows that many people won't bring all. So he wanted to say, he didn't want to just say, bring the tithes. He just said, bring all the tithes. And I know there's, if you've been following social media, some people argue, it's not a Bible something, it's not a law something, and all that kind of argument. You know what I found out about some of those arguments? Most of the people that argue in that regard, they are either of two camps. One, they've never done it before. Two, they don't want to do it again. And then they argue, it's not the scripture, it's not in the New Testament and all of that kind of thing. It's the law, it's a lot of argument. It's a lot of argument. Because people don't understand. Many times when people start this old law discussion, they don't understand it. When Jesus came here, Jesus was not necessarily practicing the law. Jesus was the end of the law. But Jesus still did many of these things that these people call the law. But I'm not here to make a case for tithing. I'm just talking about partial obedience, okay? So partial obedience is when you don't do the full thing. And really, partial obedience will still lead to disobedience. Now, there's also selective obedience. So partial obedience is that you can do up to a point and stop. And then not do the rest. Selective obedience is that you can choose two things there. So there are 10 items, number 1 to 10, that God told you to do, or that you are impressed by God to do. You pick number 1, you pick number 10, and you do them because they are convenient. It's still disobedience. You have still not done it. You have still not done it. And you, ladies and gentlemen, that's not a kind of doer you and I want to be. So there are the disobedient. There's another type of doer that I see in Scripture. The reluctant. Now, reluctance in itself is not bad, but reluctance evidently may lead to disobedience. The best way to obey the things of God, the word of God, is to do it immediately. If you remember when I was talking about Abraham, when I was talking on that open doors, I said if there is anything you would notice about Abraham, he was prompted to do. He was prompt to do. The best way to get things done in the kingdom of God is to be a prompt doer.
When you hear a word and that word concerns you, don't wait to a very convenient time. Start operating on it now. Start doing it now. Start acting on it now. Start working on it now. Because willing, delayed obedience often lead to disobedience. Delayed obedience. Reluctant people. The people that are like Jonah. People that will say, well, I know what God wants, but I really don't think that's what we should do. And they want to go another way. And eventually, what people like that find out is that the original intention of God is still the best intention. It's still the best plan. And many times, it's still what you probably have to fall to if you want to stay alive. That was the story of Jonah. Because Jonah was reluctant. The reason why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh was that he felt that those people deserve judgment. He felt that they deserve judgment. Just like some people feel like some people should suffer. Some people, it's a just cause. But if the word of God says something, you do that. For example, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you, and that your days may be long. You know he did not say that honor them if they are honorable people. Because he knows that if he puts condition on them, you just be able to excuse yourself and say, you know why I'm not honoring them? They don't deserve honor. But the Bible did not say that. He says, honor them. And so you may now be reluctant and you may say, you know what, because of what they have done, don't you know what they have done? They were not there for me. They were not my parents. That's not what the Bible said. That's not what the word of God said. The word of God says, honor them. Whether they honored you or not, whether they did their own or not, this is your own part. You do your own part. Their own part that they were supposed to do, you leave it to God. You do your own part. So there are reluctant people or reluctant doers, which can eventually lead to disobedience. So there is something about obedience that has to do with willingness. You must always be a willing person. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, that willingness is required to enjoy the fullness of God. He says if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Willingness is required to enjoy the things of God. And for the reluctant person, I'd like to say also that procrastination will always rob a people of God's best. The more we put it forward, the more we say, we'll do it later. Okay, I will do it later. You know, God, I will not pay my tithe this month, but next month I'll pay 20%. You know, it doesn't happen. Ask people that have done it before. I have not tried it before. You know, I can imagine it's harder. Because if it was hard to pay 10 this month, trust me, 20% will not be easier. And then if you now compound it, and after a while you just say, God, you know what? Let's cancel the bills. Let's start on a clean slate. You know, forgive the debt. Didn't your word says, forgive us our trespasses? And lead us. Just forgive the debt. Write it off, sir. And God will say, I've been writing this thing off for a long time. And that's why you're sabotaging yourself. So procrastination is not a good thing. I will do it tomorrow. Is there a good time to do anything? No. You know, the other day I was asking myself, when is the best day? Which day is the best day of my life? And I had the Spirit of God tell me, today. Today. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. And because it's the best day of... the best day of my life is not yesterday. I know tomorrow will be better than today. But at least as of all the days I have lived, this is the best. Because it's the best, I will do what I need to do today. I was listening to a man of God today. He was talking about leadership. And it was like, one day he told himself that, look, the only thing I want to do with my life is focus on today. Let me be the best today. Because too many people are very technical and very, very strategic in their mind and overly thinking about tomorrow. And they have neglected today. Today is our best day. Focus on today. Do all that you can do today. Whatever God has told you to do, do it today. Do it now. Do it quickly. Do it fast. Do it promptly with all your strength. That's how to do things. And then, so I've talked about the disobedient. Then you have the reluctant. These are all types of doers. And then you have the obedient doers. I pray that in the name of Jesus, everyone listening to me tonight, you fall into that category of obedient doers. In the name of Jesus. So these are the people that comply to the word of God as soon as it's spoken, realized, or believed.
you would do something that complies to it. You would take actions that look like you believed what you have believed. For example, if you believe that you are healed, you would take actions as if you are healed. If you were sitting on the sick bed, you will start exercising your faith. Because you see, when it comes to faith, faith needs some form of exercise. You cannot just say, God, do everything. No, you have to meet God some way. You have to walk with God. You have to meet God in a particular place. You have to come to the middle. You can't just say, God, you do all the taking of the step. No, God is saying you too have to take some steps. You have to walk towards me. You have to be like the lepers. You have to leave that place where there is a seat, where you are as a leper. And you need to advance toward where you think the enemies are. Because I've already done my own part. You need to come towards me. The more you move towards me, you will discover that I have done my own part. And many other times, people are waiting for God. They are saying, I'm waiting on God. When you meet people, you say, what's going on, brother? What's going on, sister? They say, I'm waiting on God. And they don't know that God is waiting on them on the other side of their obedience. God is waiting on them to walk towards what he has told them, to move towards that place that is called there. But they are staying here. They are thinking that there will jump to here, but it takes action for here to become there. So many people, they're waiting for their ship to arrive. It's not going to arrive. You got to swim to go meet that thing, man. Some of that, it will remain there. It is you that will bring it to the, is it harbor? You come and dock it. You come and put it down because the ship is waiting for you. It's waiting to say, you come upon that water. You step on that water. Because it's when you put your first leg out there that the water, you'll be able to walk on that water. Have you ever thought about the story of crossing of the Red Sea? Was it the other day we were watching Moses? You know, we just wanted to watch something. And as people of God, holy people, we just decided to watch Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. But you know, one of the things that amused me in that dramatization was when Moses was standing, I was wondering what's going to happen. He had to move into the water before the water started passing. You have to move. Obedience requires you taking a step. There is an action that you have to take in line with it. If it is business you are believing God for, you can't keep sitting down without taking action. Find the next corresponding action. Find the next corresponding action. I've met a lot of people that want to do business. They will write a big business proposal. They need $10,000. And I'm like, you know you won't get $10,000. What can we do with $200? What you have in your pocket, is there something you can do with that now that can take you towards $10,000? Because $10,000, nobody is going to give you $10,000 for nothing. You have to do something with what you have towards where you want to be. That is acting in line. That is moving towards the step. That's what these lepers did. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying this tonight is this. We need to give corresponding action to what we have believed. We can't just say it. We can't just be hearing it. We can't just be confessing it. We have to do it. We have to act. The word has to become flesh. I love how John chapter 1 and verse 14 reads in the Message translation. The Bible says, the word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. All these things that we have been hearing in church, it needs to move into the neighborhood. It needs to turn into concrete actions. It needs to turn into realistic steps. Sunday needs to translate to Monday to Saturday. If Sunday is just, you just receive the rhema and the word, you go, and then you leave church, the just stays there. And then the next Sunday, you come out, again. Bros and Genesis, that's not the best you can do. All right? All right, let me close with these 3 points. If you are writing, you can just put them down. They are my summary for what you have heard tonight. What you think or say will not be effective until you do them. What you think or say will not be effective until you do them. And here is another one. Find your corresponding action. For these 4 lepers, their corresponding action was to go to that camp of the Arameans. Your own corresponding action may be to send that letter, to send that mail. I was eavesdropping on 2 guys, I don't know which day now, I was hearing them talk. And the guy was telling the other guy that this is how I got into his school. He said he has business cards with him. He just carries business card. He has always had the business card. And usually when he meets some... So he said he met this professor, and he said, "Ah, I like you, professor. I like how you taught and all that kind of thing. What you said, I mean, I'll be glad to do something in that regard later in the future." And then he said, "Here's my business card. In case you need anything, you can shoot me an email." And the professor sent him an email. They started conversing. One thing led to another. He got a leadership job, or what they call, is it teaching assistant now, through that. And that's how he got his project. And long story short, that's how he got his degree, you know, because he had the corresponding action. Probably he has been believing that thing in his heart. He took a simple step. So the question you and I need to be asking ourselves, what's my next step? What's my next action? What's the action that I need to take that will show that I believe God in what he has said and what I have believed? Oh, the year of victory. What's my action towards that? Am I just going to sit down? What are my actions? What are my actions in my business? What are my actions on my school? What are my actions in my family? What's my next step? And finally tonight, I would like to say, show your belief. Show your belief. The only way to show your belief is by acting your belief. You show that you believe in a thing by acting it, by doing it. You don't show by saying it. Talk is cheap, everybody says. Have you not noticed that? Everybody says. In fact, some people say, they say all kinds of things that they know nothing about. Have you not found out that in schools, sometimes, you know, they say all kinds of things. People, there are some academicians that have never practiced before, and they are very theoretic in their everything, very theoretical. They can say all the theories. Oh, yeah, come and do it now. Practical. They can't do it. It's a lot of talk. I know some part of the world where the schools at some level is just a lot of theory. People say all kind of, and later, sometimes when you even ask the lecturer or the teacher or the professor question, you will now say, "See me after." Because himself is confused. It's just theory. They are just reading book. They've not tried it. They've not practicalized it. When you take action, you are practicing the word. And hearers of the word are not the most blessed. It is blessed to hear the word of God because the word of God is blessed. But it's the doers that are more blessed. It's more blessed to do than to hear. Can you bow down your ears this evening and speak to God and say, "God, show me my next step.